for a few years, I was very bitter towards non-Indian people and very angry and upset. But, you know, those were not the happiest years of my life, as I recall. And one of the things I've learned about bitterness and hatred is that it's more self-destructive than it is anything else. I didn't hurt anybody, but it was more self-destructive in my own life.
Stay good day. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, we'll hear from someone who chose to follow Jesus as a teenager, but then began to question why he believed what some considered to be the white man's religion.
My name is Emerson Falls. I'm a member of the Sac and Fox tribe of Oklahoma. And I'm a second-generation Christian. My father was raised in our tribal religion, but after experiences with war and other things, he found what he called a better way, and he became a Christian. So I was raised as a Christian and in a Christian home, and that's primarily what I knew growing up. I'm also an urban Native American. I didn't grow up on a reservation. My father moved to the urban areas, as many Native people did after the war, and so he moved for purposes of bettering himself and getting a job. So I was raised in the urban areas. When I think of my childhood, a lot of it is spent with Native people. I just happened to reside in an urban area. But my security, my people, you know, everything about who I was Native. One of the things that we deal with is living in two worlds. Because my family was Native, and I went to a Native church and went to Native social activities. And so in the larger urban community, I also lived within the Native community. But the other side of the coin is I went to public school and lived in a larger world and faced the discrimination of being a minority in a white society. And I can remember in school, you know, I dreaded going to the bus stop because you never knew when you was going to get into a fight. And the only reason was simply because somehow, because I, you know, I was Native, that somebody thought that by beating me up or whatever, that some, I guess it made them to, I don't know, but I know that I got in a lot of scuffles and skirmishes and fights simply because I was one of maybe two Native people in our whole school. And so I had to deal with that. I understand, you know, growing up in what we call the urban res, that my support group was Native people, but I also had to go out into the other world. And in doing that, you know, you encounter a lot of discrimination at a young age growing up in an urban area. And, for me, going back to the res was security. It was safety. It was being around people like me. And so, you know, people have a lot of negative impressions about the reserve or the reservation. But for me, it was a place of security and place of safety. It was off of the reservation where, you know, I really felt a lot of conflict. And that's where I lived every day as an urban Native American. We went, quote, home, you know, just like other people. Any special occasions, whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, Christmas, Thanksgiving, spent summers there, you know, with my grandmother and my cousins. And so, you know, it was there that the adults spoke our language, and the culture was comfortable for me because that was the culture I related to. You know, we could talk about a lot of things, but for example, Native humor, you know, and it gets pretty tough, and you know, and almost cold sometimes, but, you know, I'm really, you know, that's what I enjoy. And, you know, so it was part of that and part of the teasing and that type of thing was all part. So it was just being in a culture, where, the extended family was family. Whereas, in the urban area where I grew in, when people talked about family, basically, they talked about their mother, their father, and their brothers and sisters, and they never saw cousins, they never saw aunts, they saw uncles. But, you know, when I went back to be with my extended family, the way I remember growing up is I remember cousins and the closeness that we have, even today, that we are like brothers. And we haven't, even though we've been separated by miles and years, when we get together for family reunions and things, there is the feeling of being brothers and of being sisters. I was kind of an oddity because I lived in an urban area. I was considered a city boy, and as I said, our humor gets kind of tough sometimes, and so they played that up a lot. But I can remember one time that we went swimming, and in those days we just went down to a pond or we went down to a lake or a creek and we just jumped in. And usually when it's just guys, you know, we just take off our pants and jump in and swim. But sometimes as cousins, there would be boys and girls with us. And so we were there. And we decided to go swimming one day. So we were going to take off our pants and jump in. Well, the boys went one direction, the girls went one direction. And so my cousins told me, they said, let's hurry and take off our pants and jump in. That way we'll be in the water when the girls come and they won't see us. Well, that made sense to me. So I threw off my pants and jumped in the water and I looked around and everybody gathered. I was the only one in the water. And I realized that they had played a joke on me that day, you know, and I was the only one with my pants off sitting in the water. It sounds tough, but it's hard to describe, but that's just what cousins did. That's what we did as family. And part of that was, you know, they always liked to give me a hard time because I was the city guy. I did not actually come to know Christ until I was about 17 years old and in my next to last year of high school. I was in church all of that time, but as far as really coming to a place where I understood who Christ was and what he did for us and what I needed to do, that didn't happen till late in my youth. Our youth group went to a youth rally with a bunch of other churches. And, you know, I was active in going to Sunday school, and I even played the piano in church, and I did some things. So, I considered myself a church member. But I remember the speaker said that night, he said something that caught my attention. He said, did you know that you can be a church member and still be lost? Did you know that your name can be on a church roll and you could be baptized and still not know Christ as your Savior and as your Lord? And caught my attention because that's exactly how I felt. And so I realized that I was just going through the motions. I realized I was just going through the church. I was doing religious things. I was doing good things, trying to earn enough points, I guess, to get into heaven. And I realized for the first time, that's not what it's about. And I realized I could never be good enough to get into heaven. And so as I listened to him preach that night, then he shared with all of us, but spoke to me and told me that it's not about that. It's about, is there a time in your life when you actually know without a shadow of doubt that you've accepted God's gift of salvation in Jesus Christ? And as I thought about it, you know, I remember a time when I joined a church. I remember a time I was baptized, but I don't remember a time I did that. And I realized that this is what I wanted. I wanted to know Christ as my Savior and as my Lord and have him a part of my life. And I went forward that night and talked to one of the counselors there, and we prayed. And for the first time in my life, I prayed a simple prayer, but I invited Christ to be the Lord of my life and made a commitment that I would do my best to follow him. And from that night forward, I've never had any doubts that Christ came into my life and that I have this personal relationship with our Creator. As a young person, I equated Christianity with going to church and keeping rules and that type of thing. And that's probably why I didn't become a Christian until late in life. But then I began to realize that we all have this desire for a relationship with God, the Creator, whatever you want to call him. And you know, I've always had that desire. Somehow I knew there was a God and I wanted to connect to him. But it just didn't happen for me in rituals and in activities. And I began to realize that we don't have to reach up to God. One day, it became very clear to me that God has reached down to us in the person that we call Jesus Christ, his only son. And he gave his son so that through him, that even though I am a sinner, God has forgiven my sins and given me a new life because I have trusted in his son. And that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He took my punishment. He took your punishment. He took everyone's punishment for those who will trust in him. And so what that enabled me to do was to begin to know God in a way that I've never known him before. Through Jesus Christ, I now have a personal relationship with the Heavenly Father, the one who created us. And I could have never done that by my own trying to be good or trying to do rituals. I realized that God took the initiative in giving us that relationship by giving us his Son. And so for me, the key thing in coming to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father was to accept his gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And so for 2 or 3 years, I flourished as a Christian. I was really into the Bible and into Bible study. As I went to college for a couple of years and decided that's not what I wanted to do, I ended up getting drafted in the United States Army and went into the Army. But in the couple of years that I was in college, I met some people who really gave me a hard time for being a Christian. Now, they weren't trying to be mean. They were actually friends, but they could not understand why I would want to follow a white man's religion, especially considering the fact that I was Native American and talking about all of the injustices and things that have happened to our people, that why would I want to follow that way? Because I was raised as a Christian, I did have some questions about that. So I went through a period of searching in my life and wondering, maybe Jesus is not the way for us as Native people. And also this was during the period when Native Americans were very militant. So there was a lot of militancy on college campuses. I was encouraged to really be more militant in my outlook on life and to really stand up for the injustices. And so that's what I did. For a few years, I was very bitter towards non-Indian people and very angry and upset. But, you know, those were not the happiest years of my life, as I recall. One of the things I've learned about bitterness and hatred is that it's more self-destructive than it is anything else. I didn't hurt anybody, but it was more self-destructive in my own life. So after turning away from Christianity and going out into the world and doing worldly things, I went into the Army and was very rebellious. I can remember getting in trouble.
What about you? Have you thought that Christianity is the white man's religion? If so, you won't want to miss the rest of Emerson's story to find out what he finally decided. We'll give you a hint, though, and it's found in a few simple truths in the Bible. There is one Creator. He loves the whole world, and there's a time coming when people from every tribe and nation will worship Him. Those He has forgiven because they accepted His Son, Jesus Christ. Friend, Jesus said He came for everyone, including you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Interested in what you've heard? Visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is more to Emerson's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.